Father, we thank you for the beauty of your word that's coming forth to your people. We thank you because your anointing is already present. Our ears are opened, our hearts are enlightened. We are able to receive the full power in this word tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Now, I read a number of portions of the scriptures. Let's read the first one from the book of Psalms, and for all of them from the book of Psalms. But the one I want to start with is from the book of Psalms, number 126. Psalm 126. I'm going to read a lot. I may just jump into the next psalm. So if you see me continue to read, probably the next psalm I've already gone into. And so when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, were like those who dream. That was showing us the surprise and the impact of the great deliverance that God wrought, what he had in their lives. That is, they were not expecting that at that particular point in time. He now said, then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was filled with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And then this is the issue, verse 3, the Lord has indeed done great things for us, and that's why we are glad. I'm adding a few words just to emphasize stuff. In our said, verse 4, restore our captivity, O Lord. Now, I believe here we are looking at a particular principle that led to the things that were in verses 1, 2, and 3. As the streams renew the desert, that's what the New Living Translation says, all right? Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams renew the desert. Now, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Please, there's a reason why I read that, and if you've not listened to our series, Sowing in Tears, that message, Sowing in Tears, in our series, Spiritual Economics, I'd like you to get that series and listen to it. Now, please just read the next verse. It said, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain who builds it. I'll come back to explain these things. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Please, that translation is very important to you, for you to note. I'm using the New American Standard here. It said, the Lord gives to his beloved even in his sleep. I like the way Good News Bible, the Today's English Version, puts it. It said, the Lord gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. That's very crucial for us to bear in mind. A lot of people just read the simple one, the Lord gives to his beloved sleep. That is, God makes you able to sleep. It's true, because David said somewhere else, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. I believe that. But what he was saying in Psalm 127 was not talking about the ability to sleep. He was saying that even while you are sleeping, God is still adding to you as his beloved. Now, please note those scriptures and quickly open to Psalm 131, then I'll tell you what we want to talk about. In fact, I'm going to start reading from Psalm 130. I'll start from verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. That is, in his promises. And we have explained that that's what Christians used to get results. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchmen for the morning. O Israel, that is the people of God, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord means to have your expectation in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, that is forgiveness of sins. And with him is abundant redemption. That is, when you have bound yourself, there's ability of him to deliver you from the bondage that you have put yourself into. He said, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So you see, he's talking about loving kindness, redemption, and iniquities. You know, we started talking about faith basics. I will go on in that on Saturday. But just please notice this thing here. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait. And it was now encouraging the people of God to hope or have their expectation in the Lord. The reason why you wait is because your expectation is in him. Please note that. He now said, O Lord, my heart is not proud. That's the next verse, Psalm 131. Nor my eyes haughty. This is the main thing I want to read today. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Please, I need to read that line again, that verse. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a wind child rests against his mother, my soul is like a wind child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Now, some time ago, I taught a message which I titled Waiting for God, How to Wait for God. This is going to be like a continuation, though I don't know exactly what I said in that message anymore, but I know the kind of things I believe concerning waiting for God. So it's possible I might repeat myself to a large extent, all right, in this message concerning what I preached then, but it's still important that we listen to this one and that one, because I believe that there are certain things I'm going to add today which that one doesn't have. But please try and listen to that particular message, How to Wait for God. I know something that must have been in my main thrust of teaching in that particular one. There are some things that characterize those who are waiting for God, and I want to explain it again today and add something to it. Now, let me start again by saying this. The life of the believer in Christ Jesus is not average. Do you hear what I said? The life of the believer in Christ Jesus is not a normal life from what the world calls normal. All right? We live by promises. Seeing that we have these promises, Paul said, what's dictating where we are going in life, how long we will live in life, what we'll experience, are the promises of God. Are you getting my point? Now, when I say that, what I mean is this. It's in opposition to what we have been born into. It's in opposition to what time we're born in. I'm not talking about the degrees we have been able to acquire in life. What dictates where you are going in life as a Christian is the promises of God. I said that life has fears, all right? Now, those who move by the normal fears of life are the ones that feel like, look, except I have this kind of degree or I have this kind of money, I can never go far in life. Except I have this kind of background with me, I can't go far in life. That's a particular sphere. Like I said all the time, you know, before, I used to argue with people a lot. Now, let's talk about the nation, all right? You said that, this can never happen in this country. And I say, yes, it can. Now, after a while, I stopped arguing because I realized that they were right in what they were saying, all right? And therefore, I could never persuade them. And I was right in what I was saying, and they could never persuade me. What do I mean by right? Using the calculation method they were using, they were right. Are you getting my point? They have observed the things that happened in previous times. And I was never, as God is my witness, I wasn't using the things that happened in previous times to dictate where the country was going or where my life was going. I was speaking according to my understanding of the promises of God, and that if we pray, God will release his power. And since we have prayed, we have a right to expect something. Therefore, we began to argue. And therefore, you see, we could never see eye to eye. Because what they are basing their hope upon is different from what I'm basing my hope upon. You know, I was telling Namdi there's something the other time that he said, when you applied in Lagos and you succeeded, your colleagues said, we should have gone. And that is a mistake. People will say, because this person succeeded there, we too should have gone. And I said something to you that, you see, that's the mistake they are making. They think that you were lucky. Are you getting my point? That what got you the position was the boldness with which you attacked it. And I said, the boldest people on the earth are fools. Don't ever forget that. So boldness is not what gets you your inheritance. You must have an inheritance for you to boldly take it. I hope you're getting my point. If you don't have an inheritance, boldness only leads you to destruction. That's why the Englishman said the boldest of human beings are fools. So he said even where angels are afraid to enter, fools will rush into the place. So it's not boldness. Do you get what I'm saying? And that was a mistake that the Egyptians made. When the children of Israel entered into the divided waters, they suddenly looked and said, it must be easy to pass through water that's already divided. They did not understand that what was keeping them was different from just what eyes could see. The normal eyes saw that, look how water has been divided. But as a matter of fact, if you're not a blessed man, you've heard me say several times, be careful when you're following a blessed man. A blessed man is blessed, therefore things seem to work for him. You now use a pattern of his life to try and operate, and you enter into into trouble. You enter into serious disaster. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That is, what I want to explain there. It is not as if I am bold, that's why I got it. No, it's because there is a power working with me. Are you getting my point? And when that power prepared something, it now says, step into it, and then I stepped into it. That is what the life of the Christian is. It doesn't always follow the natural pattern, all right? But you see, to the believer, he understands that God has a plan, God has a will for his life, and that's where he's stepping into. Please, do you get my point? So that's why I stop arguing with people. So they say, you don't understand. This will happen, this will happen, this will happen. I say, no, it's not going to happen like that. And the issue is that they couldn't understand the blindness I was operating. And for a long time, I didn't understand what was wrong with them. Can't you see what I'm seeing? But now I've understood. No, I've said it to you several times, that when David was going to kill Goliath, he knew how he was going to kill Goliath. So he couldn't understand why people couldn't understand that he could kill Goliath. But he could see something they couldn't see it. Please, I want to emphasize that to us again. Your life is not average. You're not going to get to where you will get to in life because of the past things of your life. That operates with a particular sphere. But we are operating a sphere from which is released what the Bible calls the power of his resurrection. That's what the Bible calls the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right? Which makes nonsense of the predictions of man. Please, are we clear? It's very crucial. So when you are making your predictions, don't reason. All right? That's what the Bible calls soothsaying like the Philistines. Are you getting my point? And that's why God said, I'm the one that confounds the prophecies of the wise or the predictions of the wise. What do I mean by soothsaying like the Philistines? Don't ever think your life is going to work out the way people predict based on things that they can see. Let me summarize everything that I've said so far in one line. Expect a miracle. Did you hear what I said? That's what I mean. Though this plenty English I have spoken. That's why it's good to have prophets once in a while who just shout, the Lord said I should tell you, expect a miracle and go home. People like me talk too much sometimes. Alright? But I hope you are getting my point. I just want you to understand that. But it's not just, you see, that's one thing I don't like sometimes when I think we ministers who don't tell people the truth. You just shout to the whole world, this year shall be good. Listen to me. Most people hear you, this year shall be bad. What makes it good is not because good is natural, but because there is a power of life working in those that believe. Are you getting what I've said so far? Alright? Now, why do we read this? No, I wanted to lay that foundation, then we'll now discuss what I want to say. Because if I don't say that, people are going to really get confused. Let me digress again. That's why people argue with believers. They don't know the premise that we are working from. Sometimes I look at my life as a person, and I'm going to share some of those things with us today just to encourage our hearts, all right? This new year, as we step into different seasons in our lives. What I want to teach you today actually has to do with that waiting for God thing. And I keep on saying it, the most difficult thing for people to do is to wait for God. Do you follow my point? That's why I said everything I said. For you to understand, your life is not average. All right? And God indeed has a plan for your life. And what he's asking you for is to wait for him. Are you getting my point? How to wait for God? I preached in that message and I explained that this is what God is doing. This is what God is saying. Each time in your life, life has seasons, all right? And each season, God gives you an assignment. Waiting for God is not to lie down on the bed and not do anything. Waiting for God is to locate the assignment for the day and do that without worrying about what tomorrow will be like. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. This is a very, very stupid example, but it's a true example. Assuming that you're a vulcanizer, you know what they call vulcanizer? You know what they call that in Nigeria? And then somebody preaches a message to you and says to you that God is taking you to a great place and you are going to begin to manufacture tires, not repair them. When you tell that to a young man who didn't do anything more than primary school, who's walking by the roadside, it's a very stupid thing to say if you want to use natural projections. This is the mistake Christians make. They think that once the boy hears that word, he should tell his father or his brother, say, boys, I hereby leave you repairing tires. I am going to manufacture tire. You know what's going to happen to him? He will feel so thoroughly, he will look back and look at that prophet, say, who was that stupid prophet that came to deceive me that day? What he didn't understand that God brought that word of encouragement to him to tell him, patch tires well. Don't leave your brothers or your father here in this business until the time I will come to take you away. I don't know whether you heard what I said. You didn't get me? Okay, let me go over it again. That the mistake people make a lot of times is that when God gives them, when a word of prophecy comes, all right, two different methods. And this is very crucial, we appreciate this. We immediately start taking steps to get away from that place into the place of fulfillment. I don't know whether I follow my point. But that's not what God is saying. God is saying simply, now that I have given you the word, return to what you were doing. Except the word implied an immediate movement. if it's just a word, I'll give a very practical example that we're reading from the scriptures. David. The prophet Samuel came, took David and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And next day, what did David do? He went back to where? The midst of the sheep. He didn't say, "Now I am the king. Popsy, find somebody else to mind your sheep." You know, say, hey, levels don't change. You know the way we say it. I am no longer, no. Actually, what that word meant is that David, when people come and say, opportunities have opened in Egypt, don't go. That's what that word meant. When people come and say, David, oh boy, we have found a way to break through in life. We'll leave here and go to Ethiopia and begin to trade. Say, don't go. Now, Paul said it like this, abide in that calling in which the promise met you. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. I said life has seasons. And I always try to encourage people. Number one, there are general seasons of life, and then there are individual applications of those seasons. If you are in school, the primary job for that season is what? Study. Are you getting my point? If you are employed somewhere, the primary job for that season is be diligent in your employment. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, this is where the issue is. The world, people of the world always have strategies for exiting their current positions and running to another position. Are you getting my point? Now, the sign of faith in the believer is that he's not in a hurry to join other people. He said, those that believe will not make haste. Let me give you one general advice. If somebody says, hurry, hurry, the opportunity is about to close, forget it. No, it's one thing I have found to be true in life. Once people put you into a panic, now I'm not saying you should be unnecessarily slow. Are you getting my point? But when people put you into a panic, you're walking today, say, hey, quickly, get 200,000 naira, and then by next week, you will get a visa, you can travel, and go and do this business. As of today, if they shake you up and down, all right? Maybe 2 naira 50 kobo will drop. Somebody now says, get 200,000 naira between now and Monday, you will, if it's banking, all right? And I know I don't immediately have an easy way of getting 200,000 naira. I will tell you simply, opportunity that comes and goes away is not my own. If that door closes by next week, then it was never mine. He said, this guy, you are too slack. I said, there's a reason why a man is slack. He said, he that believes does not make haste. He said, what? I said, listen, if God wants me to go, he had better find a way to channel 200K down this zone between now and next week. But this guy is not going to break his head. A man came to me the other day asking for counsel. I told him simply, business opens. He needs money to start. They're supposed to give him some money to start. They have not yet given. But he said, just go ahead, do it. We will pay you when you finish. I said, oh boy, right now you are not owing anybody. You can sleep in peace. I said, when you start owing, you will know what they call insomnia in medicine. That's when witches start pressing you at night. It is not witches. It is the people you are owing. I said simply, if they won't release, don't start. That's my counsel. What's my reason? I said, he that believes does not make haste. They may give the job to somebody else. They should go ahead. I'm not the only one that God wants to bless. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. We must never let people pressure us. This is the point I'm trying to bring out here. God, I started by saying that your life is special and you are not an accident. I need to add on to it. You're not going to get promotion in life just because you happened to be there. I always talk about the widow of Zarephath. Elijah was not looking for any desperate widow. He had an address. Are you getting my point? There were many widows. That's what Jesus himself said. And to none of them was Elijah sent. That is, Elijah was sent to that particular widow. There were many young men who were shepherds in Israel. And to none of them was Samuel sent, apart from to David. Please, do you get the point I'm making? Please, I want us to understand that thing. Life has seasons. And the most important thing believers are supposed to do, children of God, is to observe the duties of each season and perform it fully. The problem is that the world always tries to give us a name. This guy is not sharp. This girl is not fast. This person is not smart. Are you getting my point? And therefore make you look like an idiot. Next lesson I should bring for today. Except you are willing to be a fool, you will never make it working with God. Let me say that again. many times my wife and I will discuss. And I will explain some principles about ministry. Let me tell you as an example now. Those of you who know me very well, know one thing God taught me long ago, but you are a witness I have never practiced. I have never put pressure on anybody concerning money. And people can say what they like. I thank God for Kingdom World Ministries. We're always growing. From the time in which our total expenditure was nothing but the rent we paid here, to now that we pay literally hundreds of thousands of naira a month to be on air and all of that like expenditure. As God is my witness, we are not owing anybody. God always supplies. Now, guess what I'm saying? He has never disappointed. But those of you who have known me long enough know one thing. I have refused, okay, to get involved in harassing people for money and begging for money. And people misinterpret it. You know, people always misinterpret what you are doing. You know, the way they interpret it, maybe pastor has a lot of money. He's just funding everything. It's not true. It's not true. God moves people and people give money to Kingdom World Ministries. That's the way our money comes. All right? Now, so sometimes I'll be sharing with my wife. She now said that, why can't every pastor learn this thing? And I told her simply, do you know why? This is where I'm going with the story. I said, except you are ready to fail and not care, you can't learn the lesson. That's why Jesus came and said, if you love your life, that's when you will lose it. Those who will keep their lives are the ones that will hate their lives and they will be ready to lose it for my sake. Are you getting my point? Except you are willing to say, okay, so that means it didn't work, eh? Forget it now. Your mates are on radio, eh? Well, I tried to go on radio. After 2 months, we started owing, so I shut it down. Do you get my point? Except you are willing to take that shame, you will never go far with God. That's what I'm trying to explain. You know, Paul said something, that a lot of us think that godliness is a means of gain. That's why, hear it and quote me, I disagree with this gospel that we preach these days, that will make it look to people like once you just do this, something big will begin to happen. You know me, and you've heard me say it, great things are prepared for every child of God, I believe that. But I have never, ever been able to accept the fact that I will go to God and say, God, you know I did this one for you. I heard a man preaching recently. I was so angry. My wife said, I told you not to get angry. I said, why won't I get angry? I said, anyway, I won't get angry. These are the things that make people angry. So when troubles come, I go and tell God, God, remember I gave money to this building. God, remember I gave money to this pastor. I say, look at this foolishness that we are demonstrating. I'll call ourselves ministers. It is wrong. Please, I'm begging those of you listening to me, don't ever do it. That's what people call godliness as a means of great gain. As a means of gain. I've done this, God will bless me. No. I do things because I am supposed to do them. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That's what he calls godliness with contentment. That is, I do godliness, and once I've done it, I'm content with the fact that I have done it. A friend of mine called me yesterday, also a friend of Kingdom World Ministries, and just went along this line. He said one of the reasons he loved Sam Adeyemi's church was the kind of testimonies he would hear there. He said one day he was in church and Pastor Sam Adeyemi's wife came up to give a testimony. Praise the Lord. You know, for years people say they give money to the work of God and everything. I've always wanted to give 100,000 naira and have never been able to do it. So I prayed. And then last week somebody came up to me and gave me some money, and it was 100,000 naira. And I said, God, thank you. Finally, I too can give 100,000 naira to the preaching of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And she dropped the microphone and went to sit down. You know the jokers that the rest of us are? That's not the testimony. We are so greedy and selfish. That's not the testimony. What you want to hear is, as soon as I gave that 100,000, 1 million began to rain. Amen. Who wants to get another 1 million? Where's your own 100,000 naira? It's crookedness. Oh my God. It's criminality we are practicing. There's what the Bible calls godliness with contentment. That woman came up, gave her testimony. Are you getting my point? And stepped down. That is, yes, having done the will of God, I can stand. Do you get my point? There is no 15 methods for suddenly leaving the position where you are right now. What you need is the method of what? Waiting. I emphasized something at the beginning. Your life is not average. You're not an accident. The natural unbelieving person thinks that heaven helps those who help themselves. You know that kind of thing. Nothing moves until you move it. All those quotes we have introduced to Christianity, we don't know where they began from. We don't know whether it's based on scriptures. And you can apply things any way you like. All right? If you stay here, nothing will happen. That's not really Christianity. True Christianity is that a day of change is appointed. Are you getting my point? And until that day, an assignment has been committed into your hands. And this is how you will make the day of change come. You will fulfill the assignment for that day. That's for the season that you are in. So I read the scripture, Psalm 131, and I want you to hear it again. Oh Lord, my heart is not proud, and my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. That thing is powerful. If you can write it on your wall, write it, wake up in the morning and look at it. He did not say, I don't desire great things. Did he say that? He never said so. What he said is, O Israel, hope in the Lord. That is anything you are desiring, make sure you just ask the Lord for it. I don't have all this time to read all the scriptures. If you read the earlier parts of 130, you will see that he talked about the eyes of the Lord being attentive to the voice of my supplications. What does it mean not to get involved in matters too difficult for him? Let me give, David was the one writing, so let's give it to David's story, all right, to explain this. They anointed him king in Israel. Are you getting my point? And the man looked and said, hey, I have not yet joined PDP. I don't have the money to join PDP. So now that I have been appointed king, what will I do? I will go back to the classroom where I used to work. You know what kills a lot of people who have the promise of God over their heads? Let me call it, I want to invent a word. I call it the early Moses phenomenon. I just invented that expression now. Moses, as a young man, hears that, yes, you are going to liberate these people. He said, fine, give me a sword. Any Egyptian you see, behead him. God said, let me teach you a principle. I will send you into trouble. The man entered into trouble. Then they took him and sent him into exile. He said, fine, what are you going to do here? Nothing, fine. So to him, the promise of God has come to an end. God said, now you would understand what it means for you to go with the hand of God. All right? When he had gotten tired of going, God now came with a word and said, time to move. And once he gets there, they say, what are we supposed to do? He said, just tell the people, just say to Pharaoh, let my people go. That's a very foolish thing to, no, do you get my point? It's a very foolish thing to say to the most powerful man on the earth. No, get the point? This is the most powerful man on the earth. That's a foolish thing to tell him. He said, who's your God that I should let the people? You know, very reasonable question. I need a master over my head to give me instructions. You've just showed up suddenly and say, I should let your people go. Okay, go and tell him, I'm not letting him go. Do your worst. So Moses went back and said, Abba God, I told you, no go green. Even you, he said, you talk to him before. So what's the next thing? God said, don't worry. Then the next thing you do is this. This is the point I'm making. You notice something? Each time, he did not do things that were too wonderful for him. That's what I mean. To talk is not hard. Are you getting my point? That's why I tell people, learn to write dreams and ideas down. Nobody is going to charge you for it. Paper is cheap. A full plain sheet of paper is 1 naira equivalent. All right? Less than 1 naira. Just buy and write anything. That one is not too wonderful for you. What is too wonderful that you that have never seen 10,000 naira put together, you walk over to the manager of a bank by faith, praise the Lord. The Lord says you should give me 2.5 million naira loan. You're a goat. You are going to get into trouble that way. You can't identify 10,000 naira put together. And you say, by faith, you want to collect 2.5 million. Oh boy, let me tell you what they use such faith for. You use it to plan what they do with 2.5 million in your house. Draw the project. Do PowerPoint presentation to yourself. Do all those things. It is of God. Are you getting my point? David said, if it's too wonderful, I don't get involved in it. Yes, I've been appointed king. So what am I going to do? Nothing. So the man went back to where? The sheepfold and continued shepherding it. Do you get my point? Then God set events in motion to take him to the place that he was supposed to be. One day, his father called him and said, you come. The guy showed up. take this and go and meet your brothers. And then when he got there, he said, Goliath. Now, I want you to understand, because you see, these are the things that cause contradiction. Some people say that, but you said, don't get yourself involved in things too wonderful for you. He got there, he saw Goliath. Listen to this clearly. Goliath was not too wonderful for David. The moment he sighted Goliath, he knew this guy can be handled. I don't know whether I get what I'm not explaining. Listen, if something appears to you like a step of faith, a bold step, don't take it. You can't take it. I don't know what I heard I'm saying. Please, I pray you understand that, because sometimes we have fooled ourselves what we call faith. If it appears to you like, can it be done? Well, yeah, let's try. Just forget it. You can't do it. I've said it before. The foolishness of faith is to those who are watching from outside. The man doing it doesn't think he's foolish. It's reasonable to him. Notice my word, to him. To him. To the person doing it, it is reasonable. To everybody, you see, let me tell you the truth. The thing about faith is this. You'll be trying to explain to the people, no, it's possible, it can be done. You know, you are trying to explain. Once people are the ones trying to explain to you that it can be done, you don't have the faith. Look at David's situation. What happened? The man said, what's going to happen? They said, no, you can't do it. He said, I've done it before now. You guys don't get the point. He was trying to explain to them. Okay, when did you do it? All right, not a real Goliath. He said, look at you. He said, wait now. Is it more dangerous than a bear? He said, what do you mean? Okay, all right. About 6 weeks ago, yes, precisely 6 weeks today. Look at this scratch here. It was a bear that gave it to me. What happened? Okay, let me tell you. He came. He looked for trouble. No, baby, they find wahala. Came after my sheep, and I saw the thing galloping away. So I went after it, clobbered it, and collected my sheep. They turned on me. Then I used the strength and the wisdom that God gave me, and I overcame. What was the difference between that guy and this one? Please, I pray that your heart will receive what I'm saying. To him, it made sense. I'm tired of Christians doing foolish things that are foolish to them. And they say, I did it in faith. Say, what were you trying to achieve? One day I was somewhere and the so-and-so person preached and said that he did like this. So I said, why not? If his God can do it, my God can do it. God has never been in doubt concerning his ability. You know, I keep on saying that. A young man came to me once. I told him, go to class and go and read and go and do this. He said, sir, let me ask you a question. He wanted to catch me. You know, they say, I get sense faster. He said, are you saying that there's something God can't do? I looked at him, you're an idiot. I said, in your situation, that's a stupid question. Why did you come to school? Are you saying, now I'm adding to it now, I can't remember all the things he and I discussed. Why did you come to school? Are you saying God cannot bring certificate to your father's house? You see what happened now? Why are you here? Why didn't you just say, my God, you made the heavens and the earth. What is the big deal about making one or two doctors? Bring my MBBS certificate to my house and the knowledge in my head. Why did you, moron, right jump? You're not telling me there's nothing that God can do. Now, I'm not explaining something here. I'm tired of Christians just doing things like that. Not understanding that there are certain principles in life. David said, if something is too wonderful, all right, I don't involve myself in it. What it means is this. If it's not within my capacity to understand how I will do it, I leave it alone. It does not mean I don't believe God. It just means that God has not given me the understanding on how to take this next step. You know what that means? That simply means I stay where I am now until he comes. Listen, there is a day in which God will come. And that's actually what I wanted to say today. I mentioned on Saturday. Life, I have observed it. I said it to my wife last week. I said, this one, I don't know whether I'm talking out of inspiration or just by observation. That your life will take a number of giant leaps. And those points of leap you carve, there's nothing you can do about them. They either come or they don't come. And the harder you try to make them come, the less they are likely to show. Let me explain what I mean. Don't forget the scripture. If something is too wonderful for me, I don't try it. Many men have gone into trouble, especially financially. They have borrowed money because, you know, Let me not even go into that. Let me not digress. They have borrowed money for things that, things that are much bigger than their abilities to imagine and to control. Now they are owing, and owing everybody. They were sleeping well before in poverty. Now, they went into temporary riches, and are back in poverty, now there's no sleep. When the phone rings, you start rebuking MTN. It's not, because you know somebody is calling you. You know the annoying part about it. Sometimes those calls, they're not asking for money. Somebody just say, how are you doing? So you look and say, "Aye, you don't know the number. Maybe, could it be this person? You're afraid to answer. Why? Because your eyes were haughty and your heart proud. And you involved yourself in matters too difficult for you. You know, just by the way, there was one bank, I won't mention their name, all right? They started what they call something divine account. Okay, let me tell you the name of the account. You can go and find out the bank. They call it iDivine account. Churches can open their accounts and then they can take loans. I said, yeah, congregation in trouble. I said, some pastors will open this account, run it, and take loans. And bank not care, saying, shush, work, what they can do. Now you talk, saying, the work of God, interest rates are the same. Whether you want to take and sacrifice to the devil or build the kingdom of God, they don't care. Their interest rate is huge. I said there are pastors who will use this to build building, use it to do evangelism, and then the bank will say, where are our money? And they will now descend on the congregation. I that day when I saw it, I said, yeah, trouble. I showed my wife, look at this. So this bank wants to cause trouble in Christianity. You want to give loan? I wanted to call the MDC, oh God, please don't put us in trouble in the body of Christ in Nigeria. Do you know why? A lot of people will stretch hands into things too difficult for them. Hey, I was feeling bad. I hope they have stopped there. I don't see the advert anymore. Day to day we learn. Because like Yoruba man said, money will not be there. Enforcer, not a collector. You know what they call enforcer? Go and try what they call a mafia enforcer. If you are owing mafia don't money, he will send an enforcer after you. Yoruba man has the saying that if you don't have the money, there's nothing the enforcer can do. If you like me, he beat you. If you like me, he shoot you. You are not going to melt and turn into money. I'm sure they have learned it also. After a while, a few congregations have closed down with their money. His board of trustees, what are you going to do? The pastor has disappeared. He went on evangelism to America. What are you going to do? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. This is what I'm making. He's talking about things too wonderful, things too difficult for him to do. David said, no, I don't get involved in it. I was telling you that life has what? I believe that your life will experience about 3, maybe on the average, points of leap. And those points are not dependent upon you. I always like to tell a few stories. Some of them I've told before to emphasize the point. 2 I will tell, which we all know very well. In fact, 3. In fact, 4. Some of them very spiritual, some very secular. Let us start with Ron Kenoly, who we all know. Ron Kenoly gave his life to Christ, said, I'm a Christian musician, I want to sing Christian music. He sent his demo tapes to all the Christian recording companies he knew. And you know what happened? All of them returned and said, we don't need new artists at this time. So finally one day, I heard this from his own mouth when he came to Lagos. I was in that meeting. Finally one day, he said, God, since nobody wants to hear me, you will hear me by force. So we enter church. He says, God is everywhere. He can't run from your music. So he closed the door of the church. He was what we call a music pastor, what the Americans call a music pastor in a church, all right? Choir director, stuff like that. So he entered the church, locked it, and began to play all the songs in his soul. He prayed and played and prayed and played and worshipped and then finally fell on the floor and cried. When he had exhausted himself, he got up, washed his face, and said, God, bye-bye. I am singing again. That is all this one of trying to look for a producer or marketer. He now settled in his church as the music pastor and kept on playing. Are you getting my point? And then one day, Don Moen came to church and heard him lead praise worship. At the end of the day, he walked over to him. I keep on confusing whether it's Don Moen or Michael Coleman. He walked up to him and gave him a card. He said, I'm an executive director with Hosanna Music. I would like you to pray about recording an album with us. Are you getting my point? He didn't know who on earth was Domwen.